In 2017, author and editor Roy Peter Clark delivered a rousing commencement address. Since we still have to wait a few months to hear this year's speaker, listen to a rebroadcast of the speech by Clark, the retired senior scholar at the Poynter Institute, a journalism school in St. Petersburg, Florida. Clark is part of the class of 1970, whose final spring semester was cut short due to campus unrest. He and his classmates will celebrate the 50th anniversary of their commencement this year, although in-person events have been postponed.
Thank you, Dr. Lehner. We're almost there, and it's worth waiting for. I know you've been wondering as you go across the stage, what is that piano doing here? I'm not going to tell you exactly what he's going to do with it, but our speaker is going to use the piano today. He has extraordinary creativity and energy. Roy Peter Clark is one of the most decorated alums of Providence College. And we believe this will be the first commencement address to include an instrument since Dr. Clark's good friend, PC history professor, Dr. Ray Sickinger, played the guitar and sang Beatles tunes as part of his 1971 valedictorian's address. Remember that, Ray? As you heard a few minutes ago, Dr. Clark is known as America's writing coach. He recently retired as senior scholar from the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, a school in Florida dedicated to making journalism better. Although you would hardly know he is retiring from looking at the Institute's website, he continues to write with insight and humor about writing, politics, and journalism, and other related subjects. Dr. Clark was the first person in his family to attend college. He arrived at PC planning to be a lawyer, but decided that his true love was literature. He studied in the Liberal Arts Honors Program and earned an English degree as the class of 1970 salutatorian. He then became an academic, joining the English faculty at Auburn before transitioning to journalism as the writing coach at the St. Petersburg Times, leading then to his work at Poynter. He has had a career of influence and impact, and I'm certain that his message today will stay with each of us for a long time to come. So please welcome a Providence College treasure, a member of the 1966 Albertson, New York garage band T.S. and the Elliots, Dr. Roy Peter Clark.
Thank you, Father Shanley, for everything you've done for Providence College. Thank you. Father, we know you can't be president of PC forever. So we have an idea. We think that somewhere down the line, you should consider running for president of the United States. And we think that you should pick the great Doris Burke as your running mate, a Providence College ticket. You have all the qualifications, you know how to raise money, you play golf, no one has seen your tax returns. I mean, come on, why not? Thank you, Providence College, for this honor, which I treasure more than a Pulitzer Prize. And thank you, class of 2017. It's my turn to honor all of you. I heard a rumor, and I'm not making this up, that I was not the first choice for speaker. It turns out that the college checked on the status of Lin-Manuel Miranda, the genius who created the musical Hamilton. Unfortunately, he's working with Disney on a remake of Mary Poppins. It was unavailable. I am cool with this. My brother Vincent Clark, class of 1974, is sitting right over there. He's one of Washington, D.C.'s most distinguished actors. At this moment, he's very jealous because his big brother, who has never even been in a play, stands before you right here, right now, as the understudy for the Hamilton guy. And believe me when I say, I'm not throwing away my shot. Do you know that the word Providence appears in the first sentence of the musical Hamilton? Anybody here committed that sentence to memory? If you know it, all right, I'm going to recite it, and mark the presence of the word Providence. It goes something like this. I'm going to do my best. How does a bastard orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished in squalor, grow up to be a hero and the scholar? How did I do, okay? The $10, no, I won't go the rest of it. Okay. I love the name Providence, and I love the initials PC. I wanted to go to Princeton University, but I didn't get in. If I'd gone to Princeton, I would have graduated from PU. Not very pleasant initials. Instead, I got to graduate from PC. Aren't you glad you're graduating from Providence and not Brown? Yeah, Brown. It's a great school, but who wants to graduate from a color, right? Think about how prominent the initials PC have become in the last half century, signifying everything from political correctness to personal computers. My name is Roy Peter Clark. I am Roy PC. I had no choice. The word Providence is a powerful name in both the American and Catholic traditions, coming from the Latin meaning to see ahead, to provide for. Roger Williams founded Providence as a safe haven from those for religious dissenters, refugees from those witch hunters in Massachusetts, one of the first American expressions of diversity and tolerance. And think of how much smaller we would be as a nation without Rhode Island pizza and clam cakes and quahogs. And I hear that Narragansett beer is making a comeback. I love returning to Rhode Island to hear my last name, Clark, pronounced like the timepiece, clock. Hickory dickory dock, my name is Roy Peter Clock. From the Catholic perspective, Providence is the Christian expression of God's grace and loving care for his children. It's the antidote to the idea that everything in the universe happens by accident, that life is a series of random events. I wouldn't trade the name Providence for any other college name in the world. Ball State comes in second. I don't know why. I just think it's a cool name. Thank you. Thank you very much. I attended Providence College from 1966 to 70, a pivotal moment in the history of the country and the college. What an amazing time. The war raged in Vietnam, thousands dying in the jungles of Southeast Asia, and we were subject to the military draft. The civil rights struggle was transforming America. Human beings first set foot on the moon, Robert Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King were assassinated. And during the Democratic National Convention in 1968, police and protesters rioted in the streets of Chicago. Richard Nixon was elected president. 1 month before our graduation in 1970, four students in Ohio were shot and killed by members of the National Guard on the Kent State University campus. In anticipation of student strikes, many colleges ended the school year abruptly. In the 100-year history of Providence College, only one class did not complete its full 4 years. Ours, the class of 1970. We were so conflicted about Providence College. We loved the college, but because we loved it, we fought hard to make it better, and I know you have too. Cheers to you for fighting for social justice, for diversity, for inclusion, for tolerance, for openness, for not being afraid to challenge accepted wisdom. I think you woke up the college, and I do mean woke. It's a student's responsibility to make a little trouble, as long as it is, in the words of the great civil rights leader John Lewis, good trouble. That's what we did. By the time we departed PC in 1970, strict social rules had been relaxed, the corporation running the college was reformed, the curriculum was modernized, and most important, the doors of the college were opened to women. Men of Providence College, class of 2017, please stand for me. Men. I salute you as my brothers. You've worked hard and deserve today's honors. For 100 years, the college has educated young men in the Catholic tradition, and I know you stand strong as the inheritors of that legacy. Cheers to all of you. So then. As the father of three daughters, I cannot tell you how gratifying it is to see the great women of Providence College here today. My sisters, please stand. We are so proud of you. I want you to know that during my last semester at PC, I debated in public a member of the college administration. He argued against coeducation because he said, quote, "women lack the intellectual rigor of men." I have a good memory, and I like to keep score. So what a pleasure it is for me to look out on the class of 2017 and declare in a strong voice in front of these magnificent women that I was right and he was so, so wrong. By the way, if you did not stand up as a man or a woman because you identify in some other way, know that you're honored here. We love you too. We had fun at Providence College. I played the keyboard in Rhode Island's hottest rock band, Tuesday's Children. We played the music of the day, Hendrix, The Doors, The Rascals, The Beatles, The Stones, all now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know you have great music of your generation, but for just a moment, let me be the ghost of Providence College past and play for you one of my favorite party songs. This is a party after all. If you know the words, please sing along because I need your help. Let's see how this goes. This is the biggest gig I've ever played.
Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare. I'll never dance with another. When I saw her standing there, yes, when I saw
before you step out of the doors of the dunk into the waiting arms of your loved ones, let me just share one idea with you, something I've only realized lately as I reached my 69th birthday. If you think of your life as the evening sky, you look up now and see individual stars representing the key moments of your existence so far. I promise you that one night, sometime in the future, you look up and see not just a bunch of stars, but a constellation, a narrative with a broader scope and a deeper meaning. I was the first member of a big Italian Jewish immigrant family from New York City to attend college. Out of high school, I did not want to attend Providence College. I had my eyes on the Ivy League. Providence College offered me a full scholarship and entrance into the Arts Honors Program. Princeton, my first choice, offered me a rejection letter. I admit that I cried when I got the news. I graduated from PC in 1970 as salutatorian, class orator, and the first student in the school's then 50 years history nominated for a Rhodes Scholarship. I wanted to go to Oxford. I was a finalist, but I did not win. I wanted to go to Harvard or Yale for graduate school, but I didn't get in. I wound up back on Long Island. Long Island in the house at all? We're the rowdy ones, I'm telling you about. I wound up at Stony Brook. It was 1974, and I had a new PhD. I wanted to teach at a good college in the Northeast. I wound up at a branch campus of a public college set in a cotton field in Montgomery, Alabama, the only job offer I received. I wanted to work in a big news media capital and wound up teaching at a storefront journalism school in the then sleepy Gulf Coast town of St. Petersburg, Florida. I taught writing there for 40 years. I didn't just make a living, I made a mark. I wound up living and working in four places I did not want to be. I've learned a powerful lesson from these experiences. Do not be afraid. Remember my story if it helps you. It turns out that I was never, ever accepted to the place I thought I wanted to be. But in retrospect, I always wound up at the place I needed to be. Only looking over my shoulder could I see that pattern. Time after time, what I experienced as disappointment became transformed into opportunity. I embrace one powerful religious idea with full faith and conviction. It was an insight taught to me by a Franciscan brother, my eighth grade teacher, Richard McCann. He wrote it on the chalkboard. God is the author of our lives, but he writes straight with crooked lines. God writes straight with crooked lines. That is my six-word catechism. Some of the mixed feelings you have today, no doubt, concern the future of the friendships you have established at Providence College. Will you ever see your great teachers again? Will you embrace your wonderful friends again? Will you ever get to share life's joys and sorrows together and not just on Facebook? Is there really a forever in a BFF? I bring you evidence that the answer is yes. If I'd wound up at Princeton, I would never have met my three PC roommates, the three musketeers of Joseph Hall, who have been like brothers to me. My parents love them like sons. Over four decades, they have been there for me in sickness and in health, good times and bad, for the births of my children, for the deaths of my parents. I love them as brothers, and I know that they love me too now, here, today, at this moment, 47 years after our own graduation. Please greet them from Chicago, Bob Donovan, from Washington, D.C., Fred Day, from New Jersey, Bob Fredericks. May you all carry your PC friendships and your relations with your great teachers with you through the rest of your days. That leaves one last important piece of family business that I hope inspires you. In 1970, on any given day, there may have been 2,000 guys, students, teachers, Dominicans, strolling across the campus. There were no women students yet, no women teachers. There were some older women who held office jobs, and a few younger ones who served as clerks, librarians, secretaries, and accountants. There could not have been more than 20 of these, 2,000 guys, 20 women. One of them became something of a legend on campus. She had long, straight, golden hair and blue eyes. She wore the fashionable miniskirts of the day, shorter than a Hemingway sentence. Yeah, to check down, shorter than a Hemingway sentence. Use that again, okay. From a working class family, she sewed her own clothes, and she had a great sense of humor. When a famously grumpy priest, treasurer of the college, suggested that her skirt was too short, she earned applause from the other women in the office when she responded, "Father, if you'd pay us more money, I could afford more fabric and I could make longer skirts." This young woman worked in the alumni development office, and I was fortunate enough to have a student job in that same place. You should have seen me. I looked like a clarinet wearing Coke bottle glasses. Nothing to look at. But I wrote this woman a clever note, and she accepted my invitation for a date. Sometimes it helps to be an English major. We were married the year after graduation in Guzman Chapel, Father John Cunningham presiding. August 7th will mark our 46th wedding anniversary. If I'd gone to Princeton, there would not be these three amazing and spectacularly complicated young women, Allison, Emily, Lauren, who are our daughters. I would ask her to please stand. No, remain standing, please. Karen Lorraine Major Clark, whereas you have been a loyal partner, whereas you have been a wonderful mother to our three daughters, whereas you've been pretty damn hot in the romance department, whereas you have not only survived breast cancer but kicked its ass, by the power invested in me by the guys in the class of 1970, I bestow upon you an honorary degree, Doctor of Marriage and Enduring Love. Class of 2017, I want you to believe in the possibility of enduring love. I will say it again. God writes straight with crooked lines. There's a word for that, isn't there? It's on the tip of my tongue. Thank you, my man. And it'll be on, that word will be on your diploma for the rest of your lives. Providence. 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 God bless you.
Send you out of the dump dancing. Join with me, we know.
Thank you for listening to the Providence College Podcast. Episodes are available in all of the usual places, as well as the college's YouTube channel and on your smart speaker. For producer Chris Judge, I'm Liz Kay. Until next time.